So first, I want to thank everybody for last week. It was Elder Appreciation, and I was contemplating. I don't know if I've ever been part of that in my life. And I'm sure there's been times when different ones have been honored and shown appreciation, but I always think it's significant when the body of Christ shows honor, period. And that was, I know, speaking on behalf of Terry and myself, not only very humbling, but we felt greatly honored. And that should be a blessing back to you guys. Because when you honor one another, you honor God. So I want to highly commend you for that. That was pretty awesome. So I was pondering Christmas this past week, and you know, I wouldn't say I'm too much of a traditionalist, but you know, there's the standard passages in the Bible. There's only so many that really lay out Christmas. And if you're going to have a Christmas message, you know, a lot of churches are using the same passages of Scripture today. But within that, what does Holy Spirit want to say to you? That's really the only thing relevant, because you can read Scripture on your own anytime. And what's relevant is what Holy Spirit says to you within it. So I'm just going to read the Scripture. I have one passage of Scripture. I don't know if that's ever happened either. So it is a season for miracles. So I have one passage of Scripture that we're going to be in, and it's, you know, one of the Christmas passages, and we're just going to see what the Lord has to say about it. But I know what's been on my heart for you guys today. And everything I do, I think about from a kingdom perspective. You know, and how are we on this earth to live because we're really in the kingdom of heaven? You know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's a different standard of living in heaven than there is on earth. And we're to bring that standard. So today within the Christmas message, what I believe the Holy Spirit highlighted to me is, how do we see in the kingdom of heaven? So within this story, I'll be really excited for those of you who share with me later what you see within the story about seeing. Because I believe we don't just talk about things, God responds to things. See, when you come and someone speaks, you're not listening just to the speaker, you're to hear from the Holy Spirit and what he wants to highlight to you, because it's everything's personal with him. See, he has a relationship with us, but he has a relationship with me. Okay? And it's personal. Now, there's a corporate aspect to it that's really important. It's one of the reasons we forsake not the assembly together. But there's something personal he has for you. See, he wants you individually to unwrap a gift today. Heavenly Father, we have so much to thank you for that we could just spend the rest of our existence simply thanking you. But today we want to just honor you with your word and say we already know that you want to speak to us. So tune our ears to you and open our eyes that we might see today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to read part of this passage, and then I'm going to pause, and I'm going to have Gary share. So Gary, you want to come up here? He didn't know I was going to do this. Again, this is just obedience, because my wife said, you need to do this. And then I confirmed it with his wife, and she said, you need to do this. So you're going to need to do this, okay? So let me read this, and then I'm going to get it to you to share. Luke 2, verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." I'm going to have Gary share. Apparently, he shared something in the prayer room, and if he does really well and is actually hearing from the Holy Spirit, I may be done.
Hallelujah. So
no pressure.
So we went to we saw Aquaman yesterday in 3D, and 3D is like reality. You know, it brings you everything here. I had no idea you were going to do this, by the way, because I told a couple people out here about this. Thank you, Jesus. I was just reading the scripture in the prayer room, and I was thinking about the 3D, and I says, wow, after reading this, what would that look like, Lord, if we were in that time and there wasn't any electronics, there wasn't any of this stuff we have now. And Jesus is about to get to be born. And this angel comes. Boom, this angel just shows up and it filled up the whole valley. I could just see this whole valley. And everybody was just, what is this thing? What is this thing? And it was amazing how in 3D, Holy Spirit just started showing me different things of the glory that was in front of me. And then all the hosts of heaven just kind of ushered in right behind this angel just to welcome in their king. And I was just blown away of how Holy Spirit, you ask him to do something, to show you something, and it was beyond words that I could experience. The only thing I can do is try to relate that to you all, so you can see things in 3D, how close he is to us, and knowing that he's with us, and anything you could ever want is within your reach, because he's right there in front of you. You just gotta reach out and grab a little bit of it, because it's there. It's for us all. Hallelujah.
God wants you to see today. So I'm going to read this a little bit again. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, everyone shut their eyes. What do you see? Now, you know, some practical people would say, "I see nothing, it's dark." You know, then you get the scientific ones that will say, "Actually, I see all the light reflections of what I just looked at, because the dark, you know, and then the light impresses upon it, so I can see all the figures, and I can still see the Christmas tree or whatever, you know." But the practical implication of it is when I shut my eyes, God starts showing me things. See, in the kingdom of God, God shows you things. You say, "Well, this is a simple exercise." Yeah, sometimes you just need to shut your eyes so you can see. We're too busy opening our eyes and seeing stuff that he's not wanting us to see. And there's times we need to shut our eyes so we can see. There's other times that we need God to open our eyes so we see. My point in that little extra is simply the fact that no matter what, you were made to see. I don't care if you're blind. You were made to see. Now, it would be pretty cool if the angel of the Lord just showed up right now so I could see all your reactions. But since there's no reaction, I'm going to assume it hasn't happened.
Did you ask?
Do I need to?
Yes.
They didn't ask.
No, they're already here.
They didn't ask.
They're already here.
What happened was they were about the business they were to be about, and God intervened. And the result of it was they were terrified. Now, the interesting part about it, to me, is what was happening is what was they were long is what was what it let's repause, rephrase. Bud does this really well. He backtracks. How do you do that? You do that, yeah, something like that. So what is happening here is everything that they were ever promised and told about the coming of the king was about to happen. They were always looking for it because part of who they were and who they were called to be, but they were about their business. What's interesting to me is they didn't recognize it happening right away. They were terrified. So often in life, we're presented with opportunities for God to intervene and we're terrified. But God has a word and he says, do not be afraid. Everything that you've ever wanted to happen, everything that I've ever told you, everything you've been laying before me every night because it's your heart's desire, it's about to happen. Right? But then it's more. You know, I don't know. I've had a few experiences and, you know, they can freak you out if you're not seeing correctly. And just someone showing up out of the blue, you know, they weren't there and then they're there and they say something to you and then they're gone. That's kind of freaky enough for us in this world we live in. But now to have what Gary described and have all of heaven opened up and a host, I don't know how many's in a host, a bunch, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Okay, that's you. His favor rests upon you. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another. Now, we need to experience stuff like this. Yeah, just to see how we'd react. Because I can't imagine they said, okay, that's now let's just go, you know, let's just go to Bethlehem. I think we'd remember, did you see that? I can't. That one had the little tatters on it. It was doing a little jig. Did you see that? I mean, no, you'd talk about it, wouldn't you? None of that's recorded. I can't believe they were so practical that, okay, this is just what was told to us, and we've seen all these things, and so now we're going to go do this. There has to be some astonishment, excitement. Why do I say this? Because it's joy to the world. You guys should be bouncing off the walls right now. You're so excited. How do you stay in your pews? You're not called to be a pew sitter. This is Christmas. There's a joy. They say joy, unspeakable joy. An overflowing well. Have you ever seen a spring that just keeps bubbling up? You can't stop it. That's you. That's you. You're that to the world. You have to understand the message here if you will see it. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. There has to be a desire in us to see the things of the Lord fulfilled in our day. Because a lot of things are happening and a lot of things are being fulfilled, and His people often aren't seeing. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, of all the people in the town, I don't know. All I can do is surmise that the Holy Spirit led them and said, oh, it must be you. You just had a baby, right? I don't know, have you ever been in a hospital? You know, it seems like all the babies are born at once. Very seldom there's one, there's like a dozen. No, really. Just babies everywhere. I like babies. It's the best part of life, the baby. They laugh, they cry, they eat, they sleep, they make a mess. That's about it. It's all nice, concise. They do that for months until then they get mobile and stuff, and then they're not as fun. And you got to chase after them. Then it's work. But, okay, it's a baby. We go, oh, and it's, oh, and we get happy in different ones, and then some of us are just like, yeah, it's a baby. You know, all different reactions, but the answer to everything that they lived for was a baby. And you could choose to see a baby, or you could choose to see the answer to everything I'm living for. What do you see? When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, I want to pause there and just talk about this briefly. Seeing. Because really, they could have just seen a baby. Now, I've had the pleasure of seeing four of my grandchildren babies. You know, I really like it. Really like it. Especially because I can hand them back. And that's really important as a grandparent. The responsibility of it isn't mine. You know? So I can take them. Oh, you know, they spit on me and stuff. And then, like, all that. And then, okay, I'm done. And, you know, I'm filled up, and I can go back and get filled up again. And filled up. But I was pondering this. I see my grandchild. But do I look at that child and say, I see the end. I see what God gave them to me for. Here could be the next president of the United States. Here could be the person that ushers in peace to this world. Here could be the person that gets on the news and says all this crap that you're talking about are lies from the pit of hell, and here's the truth of the gospel. That baby could change a world. This baby changed the world. What did they see? I have to believe they saw more than a baby. I have to believe they didn't see a baby. They saw the Christ. They saw their salvation. Do you know how much of a big deal salvation is? All of you here should know. It's the biggest deal that any person born will ever have an opportunity for, to be saved. They saw salvation. They saw eternity now. The King of Kings that will one day return forever and ever and ever. baby. What did they see? They saw enough that they had to go and tell everybody about it. And it amazed people. What do we see? What do we see when a baby's presented for dedication? What do we see? See, in the kingdom of God, you're called to see something beyond what you see. The point of Christmas to me in this message is to see beyond what you see. The song says, do you see what I see? I want to see what he sees. So Luke 2:25, still in the same passage, so it's still counted as one passage. Skipped a few verses. I'm going to pause. The word here for see, and the word here in every part of this passage for see is H-O-R-A-O. Raho means to see, perceive, attend to, experience, discern. To see with the mind, spiritually see. Perceive with inward spiritual perception. So what am I seeing? Our physical seeing isn't enough. Not only are we to see with our physical eyes, but we're to see with the eyes of the Spirit. Some of us say we're supposed to see as God sees, or we're supposed to see through heaven's eyes. There's something going on beyond what we see. And if we would see in every situation, we would go through every situation with boldness and peace, because we would see God's desired outcome, and that's really all that matters. His will be done. It's all that matters. So you have to understand what it's saying. So when they say, let us go see, they're not saying, let's go see a baby. They were fully anticipating meeting the Savior, the Messiah of the world. They didn't run around afterwards and tell everybody we saw a baby. They said, the King of Kings, the one that's going to save us all from our sins, no more sacrifice, nothing. He's going to take over this world. He's going to rule and reign forever, and we get to be with him. That's what they saw. Luke 2:25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Consolation. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now I'm going to pause there, because I think that's a big deal. And I think we gloss over this thing. But how would you live your life with a promise like that? He knew he wasn't going to die until he saw what God wanted him to see. You know, you can go through life absolutely fearless if it's settled in your spirit that he's destined when you no longer be on this earth. And there's a promise and you haven't seen it fulfilled. It doesn't matter the situation. You're not going to die. Man, there should be a boldness in you guys, because you all have promises that God has given you, and you're going to see him fulfill them in your life and quit worrying about life. Come on, you need to unwrap this gift. That's a gift. He's told each of you something for you. He has given you each a purpose for you. You are unique and useful to him to see the kingdom of heaven advance, to usher in eternity. And you will live until it's fulfilled, because that's what he's called you to. He knew it. We have to see. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Now, see, he saw something beyond what he saw, because all kinds of children were presented to him. It was customary. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. There is something today, I believe, in this message, and you see it with the shepherds and you see it with Simeon. But there's things we have to see beyond what we see so we understand what God is doing in our midst. And more so ever today, we need to see, because we are bombarded with stuff that can cause us to take our attention from what God's doing. And I'm firmly convinced that within this message of the Christmas story, there's a message for us to see that the kingdom of heaven, that which we are citizens and ambassadors of, is actively involved on this earth today. And we have a part to play. We just simply need to see. And we would look at everything we have to face in life and pause and say, God, let me see what's going on in the kingdom and what you want to accomplish, we would respond differently, because there's a reason to see. See, every one of these people, the shepherds and Simeon, had action after fulfillment, after they saw. You know, I've told you guys before, I've always enjoyed watching a game when I already know the score, because I know the end. And in the Christmas story, if you'll see, you know the end. And the end's what's relevant for us to live. The end is what he would see. See, the end, we get to unwrap and use the presents. Unwrap and use your present. It's Christmas. So let us see what he wants us to see. Brenda, you have some?
Could you put up that verse, Luke 20 again? Okay. The shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And last night I woke up and I heard this owl hooting. Whoo! Whoo! And I don't know about you, but when I hear an owl hoot, I think an owl is there. It represents wisdom to me, okay? And so I heard this owl, and then I heard this song. I had sung it 30 years ago, right after the Toronto blessing. There was a revival in our church. And the Holy Spirit came on me one Sunday, and I was by the back door. I was going to go do children's ministry, and the Lord stopped me, and he said, I want you to sing a song. So as I sing this song to you today, I want you to do this. Listen to the Lord. Shut your eyes. And I want you to know that he is coming again. He came once. He came once. And he died once for all. But he is coming again, and it's for all. And so he's given us this duty to proclaim the good news. Tonight, Psalm 96, make his name famous. We want to tell everyone every day how wonderful he is. And this is what he sings over us and how he acts. Mm-hmm. Someday soon I will come for you and we will live together. Someday soon I will come for you and we will live forever. We will walk, we will talk, we will play. We will run, we will dance, we will laugh eternally. Someday soon I will come for you. Someday soon I will come. Someday soon.
So what I wanted to do today, if you guys would stand. I want a few of you to come, Bud and Natalie, Jeff and Brenda, Don and Kelly, Larry and Jody, just a few of those in leadership. And good opportunity just for you guys to be blessed by people that are serving you within leadership on this Christmas Day. I think it's appropriate to give Christmas blessings, but I want you to take a moment before you come down and get prayed for and look at one another. And then question what you see, because I believe God wants you to see into His divine purposes for one another, so you can speak into those things and encourage one another along that path. Okay? And I believe God wants to show you things about one another so you can lift one another up in prayer. So, in this pause, if God gives you something or shows you something that's an encouragement to another person, make sure you give that gift to them so they can unwrap that and be blessed by it. Otherwise, as God leads you, come up and get just a Christmas blessing. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that people would see through heaven's eyes into each other's lives so they can be an encouragement and edification for one another. And I pray, Lord, that as these people come to get blessed by the leadership of this church, Father, that they would just be overwhelmed with abundant joy in this season. That they would see that, Lord, you have so much more that you have prepared for them to do with you. And I thank you for it. I bless your people today with the spirit of Christmas, joy to the world. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed and come and get your blessing.